Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The general theme for today, intended by the appointed readings and such, seems exceptionally clear. For example, we sang in the introit, in the antiphon, that our eyes are ever toward the Lord. In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord promised to lead the blind in a way that they do not know, to guide them in paths that they have not known, to turn the darkness before them into light. And the Lord calls the blind to look that they may see, for Israel was blind, seeing many things, but not observing them. Today's gradual called for us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Today's epistle reading described how at one time we were darkness, but now are light in the Lord, and how the Lord has called us to walk as children of the light. Today's verse said that in God's light, we see light. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus gave sight to a man born blind and said that he came that those who do not see may see, and that those who do see may become blind. As I said, the general theme for today seems exceptionally clear, and the general theme seems to be appropriate for the middle of Lent with its lengthening of days when light supplants darkness. For the next few minutes, as we reflect primarily on today's gospel reading, let us direct our thoughts to the particular theme, the light of the world gives us sight and we worship him. There are all sorts of interesting things about and in today's chapter-long gospel reading, which reading consists of at least the greater part of the account of Jesus' giving both physical and spiritual sight to a man born blind, an account that arguably continues into the following so-called Good Shepherd discourse, part of which we'll hear in the Easter season. And yet, even in what is said to be the seven different scenes that are at least partly included in today's gospel reading, Jesus' miraculously giving the man born blind physical sight is an important part of Jesus' miraculously giving the man born blind spiritual sight, essentially faith in Jesus that expresses itself in worship of Jesus. One commentator says there is sort of a parabolic relationship, the relationship like you would find in a parable, between the physical sight that alone may be in view at the beginning of the gospel reading and the spiritual sight that alone may be in view at the end of the gospel reading. At a minimum, we can say that Jesus is giving both physical and spiritual sight to the man born blind is one of the things that the Holy Spirit inspired St. John to write so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing have life in his name. We all, to some extent, rightly, may be more concerned about our physical sight, maybe going to an optometrist for a refraction in order to correct our vision, maybe going to a specially trained ophthalmologist for cataract surgery in order to replace our increasingly cloudy natural eye lens. Or maybe even going to an ocularist in order to receive a prosthetic eye. We, to some extent, wrongly, may be less concerned about our spiritual sight, even though we do not need to go anywhere else to have it diagnosed. Especially this morning, God's word makes clear that we are conceived and born spiritually blind and in darkness. In certain cases, there may be a cause and effect relationship between our behavior and our ability to do such things as see physically. But in general, things such as mental and physical afflictions and death are in the world because our first parents sinned. Though to be sure, we all ourselves certainly sin, and so we all deserve both temporal death and eternal punishment. In today's gospel reading, Jesus said that the man was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Not only Jesus is giving him physical sight, but likely also Jesus is giving the man spiritual sight. The man's testifying to what Jesus had done repeatedly, and the man's worshiping Jesus in the end. Jesus shines upon our human darkness. He pierces the night that shrouds our race. As we said, the light of the world gives us sight, and we worship him. Jesus is not a sinner, as the Pharisees in the gospel reading suggested. Jesus is more than a prophet, as the man born blind suggested early on, as evident by his miraculously giving both physical and spiritual sight. We know that Jesus is the divine and human Son of Man. Out of divine necessity, out of God's love for the world, that Son of Man was lifted up on the cross for the sins of the world, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the words of the hymn of the day, the Lord grants us true contrition, sorrow over our sin. And when we combine that sorrow with faith, by Jesus' death upon the tree, he grants us God's pardon and remission, forgiveness of our sin. We once were blind, but now we see. We wretches are saved by amazing grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us in our place. We are saved as God works in us through his means of grace. Jesus is the Word of God that caused blind eyes to see physically, and now he speaks and heals our spiritual blindness. Jesus speaks and heals through the ministry of his word and sacraments. In today's gospel reading, the Pharisees exercise their authority by casting out, excommunicating the man born blind. But the man soon entered the church by faith. Most of us first enter the church through the water and the word of holy baptisms, creating faith. Through the details of today's gospel reading, details such as the man born blind's washing in the water of the one who was sent, and the connection of water and light in the Feast of Tabernacles, at which time this miracle took place. Through such details, the Holy Spirit early on led the church to see baptism in today's gospel reading, and to consider baptism's giving of spiritual sight to be enlightenment. We here at Pilgrim reinforce that understanding of baptism as enlightenment when we give those who are newly baptized candles to show them that they have received Christ, who is the light of the world. The baptized privately confess to their pastors the sins that they know and feel in their hearts for the sake of individual holy absolution. And in turn, the baptized are admitted to the sacrament of the altar at this rail, where they receive bread that is the body of Christ given for them, and wine that is the blood of Christ shed for them. And so they also receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. After being received as a new member by profession of faith this morning, Katie will be so admitted to the sacrament of the altar. She joins us here as those to whom the light of the world has given sight, and so also as those who worship him. Today's gospel reading does not tell us how the man born blind worshiped Jesus as God. Perhaps he worshiped Jesus as God by falling to his knees, at Jesus' knees. But we know that we worship God by seeking and receiving God's forgiveness of sins through his means of grace. And at the rail, there can be division between families, as there was division over faith for the man born blind in the gospel reading. But such is a necessary consequence of our walking in the light. Also necessary for our walking in the light, as we heard in today's epistle reading, are producing the fruit of light in all that is good and right and true, trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and taking no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead exposing them. When we fail to walk in the light, as we should, and we will fail, with daily contrition and faith, we live in both the forgiveness of sins that we receive from God and the forgiveness of sins that we in turn extend to one another. And thus, as we wait for the greatest, full, and complete healing of body and soul that comes on the last day, already now we have peace and joy. As the third Sunday in Advent, with its intro that traditionally begins with a call to rejoice, lessens the penitential discipline of that season, reflected by its pink or rose-colored candle, if not also chancel paraments in that color, so the fourth Sunday in Lent, with its intro that traditionally begins with a call to rejoice, lessened the penitential discipline, also reflected by pink or rose-colored chancel paraments. Pilgrim's pink-colored bulletin cover today is our nod to that tradition. Whether or not we use those same traditional readings as such today, we still truly rejoice, for the light of the world gives us sight, and we worship him. Joyful service is an emphasis of today's closing hymn, which, in keeping with today's theme, includes this encouragement. God has called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light, brought his truth to life within you, turned your blindness into sight. Let your light so shine around you that God's name is glorified, and all find fresh hope and purpose in Christ Jesus crucified. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.